so Republicans couldn't quite pull off repeal and replace.
Now President Trump will try a tactic that he once criticized, executive action in the face of inaction by Congress. The president signs an executive order today. It would let groups of people band together to buy health coverage. You know, trade groups or chambers of commerce or groups of small business owners could buy coverage which would not face as many restrictions under the Affordable Care Act.
They'll be able to buy, they'll be able to cross state lines, and they will get great competitive health care, and it will cost the United States nothing.
That's the president, of course, previewing his plan. Proponents say association health plans, as they're called, could be cheaper, although they may also cover less. And analysts warn they may draw younger, healthier people out of the wider insurance market.
All right, what happens now? Let's ask NPR's Domenico Montanaro. So, Domenico, President Trump couldn't get Obamacare repealed through Congress, so he's taken things into his own hands. Is that what's happening here?
In part, yes. I mean, ironically, the president is taking a tack that conservatives criticize former President Obama for, you know, acting unilaterally after Congress fails to do so. Mm-hmm. You know, what he's going to sign is something conservatives have wanted to do for a long time, going back more than a decade. Bills like this have been talked about. The House passed a version of it in 2005. It's aimed at putting pressure on Congress to do more, and especially to make Democrats stand up and take notice, because this really could undercut the individual markets in place currently under Obamacare.
And this is what critics are pointing to. They're saying that the reason why Obamacare is having problems is that President Trump keeps undercutting it. So what does this mean? What does this mean for consumers?
You know, for most people, it's not going to affect them, obviously, because most people will still get health insurance through their employers. For small businesses and associations, it may have an impact, but not for a little while, probably, because the details and timing are not yet clear when this would take effect. Health experts also say that when this plan does take effect, by allowing these association health plans to go into effect, this banding together is unlikely by itself to have a huge impact on lowering premiums for those small businesses. That's because already people are basically buying in a large group market on each state exchange. You know, the only way for this to really reduce premiums is if you reduce the quality of coverage. In other words, you exclude, and you would wind up, because of that, excluding sick people or taking away some of those essential health benefits.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you know, that's kind of like going to a car dealership and, you know, you take away the seat belts, the rearview mirror, the mirrors on the side, no headlights, no airbags.
Not
sure,
so safe.
It's still a car, but do you want to drive it?
Yeah, not too much. the health markets have been so unstable, just trying to figure out where health care policy is going. What does this latest move mean for the broader market?
Well, again, it could undercut the Obamacare markets because you would wind up drawing away those younger, healthier people to get this car with no side view mirrors and be able to, and it would wind up raising those premiums and prices for sicker people. That's what health policy experts point to.
All right. To be continued, NPR's Domenico Montanaro. Thanks, Domenico.
You're welcome.
More grim news today out of California's wine country.
Wildfires keep spreading north of San Francisco Bay. And as we've heard, the fires are spreading quickly, driven by winds at times reaching hurricane force. People keep thinking they're safe, thinking they have time to evacuate, and then finding out they don't. Mm. As of early this morning, 23 people were confirmed killed, among them elderly people who could not easily move.
All right, NPR's Nate Rott has been covering all this from Santa Rosa. He is on the line now. Nate, what's going on where you are?
Well, the most recent forecasts have been calling for 20 to 30 mile per hour winds tonight, so that is not a good situation. Bear in mind, that's a far cry from like the 70 plus mile per hour winds that Steve was referring to that we saw in the area on Sunday night, Monday morning. And that's when these fires really blew up, just incinerating neighborhoods and homes. But I mean, 20 to 35 mile per hour winds isn't something to shake your head out, put your head out the window out of your car moving 30 miles per hour, and imagine a fire getting pushed at that speed, and you'll realize that it's not really a good situation for anyone. And it's not just that the fires are going to get pushed faster, they're going to burn hotter with that going on. The embers will get picked up and carried by those winds out in front of the blaze, jumping roads, buildings, any sort of fire block that might exist. And things are so dry here that any embers that start in a new place are likely to start fires. And when a fire is moving like that, there's not really a whole lot that firefighters can do. From what we can tell tonight, bear in mind it's still early here, Those winds have been blowing, maybe not as hard as predicted, but they're blowing. You can feel them outside, and the fires have been spreading. How much and where is a little harder to know at this point.
So as Steve noted, I mean, these fires are moving so quickly that people just don't even have time to think about it. They just got to get out of their houses. There are new evacuation orders, I understand, being put into place. Are residents heeding those?
Yeah, I've been getting texts all night for new evacuation orders in different parts of the area. I mean, we're talking about three counties here, a huge area. And for the most part, yes, I think people are heeding those warnings. I'm in a hotel right now that's filled with evacuees. Yesterday, I spent a lot of time driving around north of the town of Sonoma in an area that was under mandatory evacuation. Police had been driving around there telling people on a loudspeaker that it was time to go. And it was a really tragic scene. People stuffing their cars with belongings, doing last-minute checks to make sure they have everything they want. And there's only so much a person can fit in a car, so it's kind of hard to watch. That said, there were some people who were not leaving who planned to ride out the fires. One man I talked to was hosing down the roof of his home and his neighbor's home as other people were leaving. His name is Toby Butisbach, and he and his wife and kids had left, and he said he was going to stay at the home. I asked him if there was like a trigger point where he would say, okay, that's enough, I got to go, and yeah. Here's what he said.
When I can't see or breathe, I'll be crawling out of here.
Might that be too late, though, if you're crawling out of here, you can't see?
I guess I'll take that chance.
Wow. It's a hard thing to hear, right?
Yeah. I want to introduce a term that may be new to a lot of people, wildland-urban interface. It's the phrase...
The WUI.
The WUI. You know the term. It's the phrase they use for neighborhoods basically built in nature, built around forests or grasslands, which, of course, burn very quickly. And there are millions of Californians, many millions of Americans in such areas, and this is part of American life now.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I mean, you're describing Northern California.
Yeah. And as we watch these flames continue, NPR's Nate Rott covering it all for us. Thanks so much, Nate.
Yeah.
We keep learning more about how the Harvey Weinstein scandal came to light.
Or, more precisely, how it did not. The New York Times broke the story about the Hollywood producer who settled numerous claims of sexual harassment. And then the journalist Ronan Farrow published a version of the same story, which he said he'd been reporting for a long time. He took the story to NBC News, his employer at that time, and he says NBC did not run it, so he took it elsewhere.
I walked into the door at The New Yorker with an explosively reportable piece that should have been public earlier. And immediately, obviously, The New Yorker recognized that, and it is not accurate to say that it was not reportable. In fact, there were multiple determinations that it was reportable at NBC.
Reportable, but not reported. So why not?
Indeed. Okay, NPR's David Folkenflik covers media. He's on the line. David, why didn't NBC run this piece?
Well, it's the mystery that's currently haunting the halls of 30 Rock, today and all week. President Noah Oppenheim told staff who have gotten pretty restive on this question yesterday that it kind of wasn't soup yet, that what he brought to them earlier this year wasn't sufficient to make the case of a pattern of behavior by Harvey Weinstein. But he had obtained audio, the really compelling stuff that in some ways formed the part of the heart of the story that The New Yorker ran, audio done by the New York Police Department as part of a sting by a woman who said that Weinstein had sexually assaulted her the night before. And he essentially acknowledges fondling, groping her against her will in that audio tape. NBC says, we wanted them to do more. It wasn't there. The question that really persists is, let's say Ronan Farrow didn't have enough to prove the pattern. Why not stick with it? NBC is a big news organization. Mm. Sometimes stories take more reporting.
Yeah, give them the reporting
resources.
Why didn't they
wait for it? Yeah. You bet.
What's the answer to that?
The answer to that, coming from people inside NBC to CNN, to the Huffington Post in particular, to others, what we're hearing as well is that NBC blanched, that it blinked, that it said it a
certain
point.
Because it was Harvey Weinstein?
It's not clear. Ronan Farrow at one point said on the air that he had been threatened with a lawsuit by Harvey Weinstein as he pursued these allegations. NBC didn't seem to fully embrace this story. And I think it's worth noting, think back a year when the Access Hollywood tapes came out, in which Donald Trump boasted to Billy Bush that he had essentially grabbed women in a sexual way against their will, that he could get away with it because he was famous. NBC had those tapes, but they surfaced in the Washington Post. And that is something that some journalists inside NBC say was because of excessive caution. NBC will tell you that the story in this case wasn't ready yet and that they weren't willing to go forward something ready, but they encouraged him to publish it at a print organization that might be able to develop it with him in full. But I got to tell you, a lot of people inside the greater NBC world, including Rachel Maddow, who posed that question, the answer to which we just heard, you know, are asking why that wasn't on NBC itself.
All right. NPR's David Folkenflik, he covers the media for us. Thanks so much this morning, David.
You bet.